Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Okay, all right. As always, it's a wonderful Thursday night, 8 p.m., and you know what time it is, FSP Crew time. I am your host, JTAK, the master. And as always, I'm joined by my Jersey guy called Jeff the Joker. We always engage in conversation and give you information about the crazy, wacky world of fantasy sports and politics. We got a great show in store for you tonight. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the Fantasy Sports Casino Hotline, where players play and winners win. We also have a chat room. The chat room is in there for your convenience. Question, comment, statement, all those three things or whatever you want to do with the chat room, it's on you. So without further ado, I'm one Jersey guy. I'm Jerry, and I have another Jersey guy on there named Jeff, and I'm going to bring him in right now. What's up, my man? Jeff, you there? Hello, Jeff. Jeff, are you there? Hello, Jeff. Oh, don't do this to me. Don't tell me. Do not tell me. I got the same problem I had last week. Do not tell me that. What in the world is going on here? Let's try this. Jeff, you there? Hello, Jeff. Jeff, if you can hear me, text me. Okay? You know my number. Text me.
Oh,
hello.
Shoot. I'm trying. Hold on.
Okay, Jeff, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I don't know what the heck happened, but sorry for that about that, people. We had some slight technical difficulties. Seems like we got them straightened out. Hello, Jeff. What's up, my man?
Hey, Jerry.
All right, we also have, I think, if I'm not mistaken, this number looks familiar to me. I haven't talked to him in quite a while. Is this happened to be Macau? What's up, my man?
What's up, Jerry? So glad to hear you behind the board tonight, Slim. Oh, my God.
What's that?
Oh, I said I'm so happy to hear that you are back behind the board. Oh, these shows have been awful. Awful. Oh,
oh
my goodness.
Oh, boy. Well, I have nothing to say about who was taking over the board. They were filling in for me, and I appreciate that. What happened to Jeff? Jeff dropped off. Hopefully he'll call back. But I'm back. Let me put it that way. I'm back. I was back last week.
Yay!
So I've been back a full week. So what's been happening, my man? How you been making out?
Man, my beautiful cousin. First, I had to tell you about the Super Bowl because I ain't talked to you since then.
Right.
I was on the show before a week before the Super Bowl, and your man was talking about how Peyton Manning can destroy the cover three defense and that he yearns for physical type corners to play against him and da 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 da. And I was like, dude, he gonna struggle, he gonna dominate. Then the next week he ain't wanna talk about it, of course. You know how he do. And then you try to call him out on it. You know, he started doing his Savion Glover, you know, dancing and tapping and whatnot. But that's just the gist of it. But, you know, there's a whole lot of other stuff that, you know, we can get into this week. So, go. The floor is yours. You got the calm, man. I'll just wait for what you're throwing out.
All right. Jeff, how about you, my man? We got each other on here now.
Can you hear me, my friend?
Yes, I can hear you.
Woo! What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Mikal. How you doing?
All right.
Well, you know what? I don't even know where to start this week. I really don't. This, I mean,
it's a whole smorgasbord.
You know what? I want to start here because I didn't bring this up last week, and I had briefly brought it up the last time I was on the program. And I want to bring it back because the fact that this is getting hot and heavy, we're talking about former New Orleans Saint, former analyst or whoever you want to say on the NFL Network, Mr. I'll slip you a, lack of a better word, a Mickey, and see what I can do with you, Darren Sharper. He's already charged with raping and drugging two women in California. Is a subject of a sexual battery investigation in Miami Beach. And I think he's got something going on in
other
drug-related rapes in Las Vegas and in New Orleans.
Yeah, four of them.
And in Arizona.
Yeah, he got four cases. Four cases.
Now, and don't get me wrong when I say this. Darren Sharper seemed like a personable guy. He's not a bad looking guy, if I do say so. I mean, he's a good looking guy. I'm pretty sure he draws quite a few good looking women because. He's a former NFL player.
I thought the same thing, but it's not about that to those kind. You know what I'm saying? It's not about that. Because if it was, then, you know, hey, I'm ugly and I have poor social skills. I don't go around slipping Mickeys to women. You know what I'm saying? It's not about that.
The reason why I was saying this, Jeff, is because the fact is, and just let me finish my thought here. He's a good-looking guy. He seems like he's a pretty personable guy. It doesn't seem like he's got, I wouldn't say ignorant bone in his body, but it seems like he's got a head on his shoulders. And you wouldn't think that, and this all still has to come out in the wash. But you wouldn't think that the person that speaks, looks, and acts like he's a decent guy would be the type of person, to do the things that he's accused of doing. I don't understand. Jeff, maybe you can. I'm going to give it you the first shot. Maybe you can tell me or give me an idea or the reason why somebody with seems like a lot going on for himself in all phases of his life would stoop to this to try to, for lack of a better word, get a piece of tail.
You know, I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. I mean, and it goes. He doesn't seem like you know, I get your point, but, you know, it's not about, you know, just the guy having his act together and not needing to do it. For some reason, certain people enjoy doing that type of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it. I'm not that type of guy. I think, and this is no excuse, I think all of this came after he retired, and it's very common for a lot of guys to have a lot of problems to sort out when their career ends. It's very common. I mean, it just came out Eddie George was having some problems, and that's a guy who seems very bright and very together, but hey, Eddie George has some problems. He didn't go around slipping Mickeys and raping and whatnot, you know. But unfortunately, this is kind of similar. And this is, you want to talk about an iconic name, and he's a former athlete, and now he's probably one of the most famous sports fans in America. Did you ever hear the mess about Bill Cosby? I mean, he's like America's grandpa. And he made settlements about similar type activities. Bill Cosby. I mean,
really?
I
didn't know.
My theory is,
he tell us some square business there.
And my theory is, I think, like, just once you become a really big celebrity, like a Cosby level celebrity, which Darren Sharper isn't quite that famous, but I think you just, if you just become a, for lack of a better term, just a real douchebag, because, you know. I'm an equal opportunity disher because, you know, Woody Allen is a perverted douchebag, and Clint Eastwood is a major league douchebag. Clint Eastwood is like a modern-day Joe DiMaggio. He keeps his mouth shut to cover up the fact what a douche he is. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm serious. You know, and then the Republican Party puts him out there, you know, as a speaker. You know, because he's all about family values. Yeah, he started about a dozen families, you know? I mean, you know, this cat is not a nice guy.
Oh, my goodness. Dude, you are on a roll. The only one you missed out was Peyton Manning. I thought you was going to get Peyton, too.
Peyton, now, the only, just coincidentally, I was, the only real blemish on Peyton Manning is, in college, he sexually harassed a trainer, and then early in his pro career, made a settlement. I mean, he didn't rape her or anything, but I think that and probably his dad scared some sense into him. And, you know, the thing is, I mean, it's very easy to criticize. I mean, I've made mistakes, nothing like that. But, I mean, hey, of all people, Eli got in a little bit of trouble his freshman year at Mississippi, and he's never been in trouble since. But, you know, it was just a public drunkenness thing, and the only reason it made the paper is because of his last name, and never been in trouble since. And I think that's more common, that's the rule, not the exception. A lot of guys, when they're young, they get in a little trouble, and they get straightened out. They don't. Not every guy who gets busted for a misdemeanor is a thug. You know. I mean, Eli's not a thug. I mean, he's boring too. You know. But you know, if you're a Giant fan, you love the guy even now.
Macau.
I just want to state for the record that we all need to wait for all the information to come out.
Right.
Because TMZ is reporting that. One of the rape allegations, the one in Arizona, the prosecutors are now having a problem corroborating the story because the footage from the nightclub shows Darren Sharper nowhere to be found. He's nowhere in any of the videos. All of the people in the club said they hadn't seen him that night. You know, these chicks claim that they partied with him for 10 to 15 minutes. He partied with them for 10 to 15 minutes, mind you. Then slipped them a Mickey and then raped them. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, we gotta wait for it all to come out. You know, and now he told it his chest a little bit. He was just like, look, I wasn't there. I didn't do anything wrong with them or anybody else in all the other four cases. You know, so we gotta wait for this to play out. and it looks like it's going to be a little bit messy. That's what it looked like.
Well, the he was arraigned in L.A. Superior Court on Thursday, which was today.
Right.
Of course, he pled not guilty. He faces 2 counts of rape by use of drug, 4 counts of furnishing a controlled substance, and 1 count of possession of a controlled substance. His bail is at $1 million. He's also ordered to remain in L.A. and stay away from nightclubs and not be alone with any woman not known to him since October, since October, when the first alleged incident took place. And like I said, in addition to California and now Miami, it's Las Vegas, Tempe, Arizona, and New Orleans.
Yep.
That guy knows where to party.
Yeah, I guess he does. But like you said, Mikal, you're gonna have to just wait and see because the jury's still out. It don't look good. It does not look good.
Well,
I don't know if all of these are going to stick, but I have a strange suspicion that at least one, maybe more, are going to on the stick, and that would be a problem. He's 38 years old. He played it for 3 different teams. Been out as an active player since 2010, and that's 3 years. 3 years, and he was. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. But it is what it is. Let's go in this direction, okay? As you guys know, starting today and going into Monday or Tuesday of next week, the boys' club gets together in Indianapolis, and it's the men in underwear show. Under Armour show, I should say. The annual NFL Combine is set to kick off, I think it's the 22nd, which is Saturday, which would be the defensive players, if I'm not mistaken. Punters and kickers and offensive linemen, if I'm not mistaken. Are going to be kicking it off on Saturday, and then it's quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers, the prime time players on Sunday. You guys got any thoughts before I get into a few guys that supposedly, according to DraftSharks.com, that there's a few guys that need to be taken a look at or look out for during the workouts? And most of these guys are either quarterbacks, running backs, or wide receivers. You guys got any thoughts? Talk to me, Mikal. You sound like you want to jump out there first.
Yeah. I heard that Johnny Manziel is going to be participating in the combine this year. I heard that he's going to be participating. If he does, I'm watching. I want to see it. I want to see Youngin. Go ahead. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to help him with the taxes or whatever, you know, because I don't know, man. I think y'all need to take him, Terry.
We're going to get into that, but just for your edification, Johnny Manziel is going to do, I think, everything except for throw in the combine. He's saving that for his pro day and for private workouts for whatever teams want. And I think there's a few other quarterbacks that are not going to throw. Dennis Carr, I think, is another quarterback that comes to mind that's not going to throw at the combine. Jeff, your thoughts on the combine?
Yeah, the underwear Olympics. I get that impression, and this is very common for the star quarterbacks like Manziel, that they'll go to the combine and you know, strut around in your underwear and maybe run and do your interviews, which can be very important. But the big thing is the star quarterbacks don't throw. And I'd be very surprised if he threw. This just becomes more and more popular every year. And Manziel, because, you know, he won the Heisman. He was such a big-time college player for the past 2 years. He's somebody everybody's got an eye on. And the other guy everyone has an eye on is Jadeveon Clowney. But this is an important part of the process. I mean, they have film on these guys, but it's not NFL film. So that's when, I guess, you know, the combine comes into play. And there's some guys, like, you want to go way back, Mike Mamula had a great combine, became a first-round pick, and was not a great NFL player. And then there have been plenty of guys who did poorly at the combine and, cost themselves a lot of money. But, you know, all you got to do is, if you're a player, all it takes is one team to make you happy, you know. So, the thing is, sometimes, once in a while, and I've watched these combine shows, when you see a guy who's disappointing at the combine, it shows sometimes a lack of effort or a lack of caring, because they know it's coming. You know what I mean? And some of these guys have had a long time to prepare, and because it's such a big business, a lot of these guys at this point, they're hooked up with agencies, and the agencies know how to prepare them. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
If you're
right.
A top-tier prospect, you know, you sign with an agent. When they say an agency, usually it's part of a group, so it's not just one guy. It's a company. So you sign with a company, and then they say, all right, we got to work on your 40 times so that you'll be a first-rounder and make more money. We're going to hook you up with a track coach who's going to help you with the 40 time, and they do stuff like that. You know, it's a business, and it shows. It's like a job interview. You know, it shows you were prepared and you gave a crap. You know, and they do that. They prep these guys for the combine because it's not a secret. You know, all the different drills and whatever that they run. You know,
right. Well. I got about 10 guys here, and some of these guys you probably know, some of these guys you probably don't know, but some of these guys are going to be on the fantasy radar and quite naturally going to be on the radar of these NFL teams. Some of them may be looking, may possibly have a position change, may start out in the combines one position and wind up actually in the NFL another position. The first person I'm talking about here is Logan Thomas. I don't know if you guys heard about this guy. He's the quarterback from Virginia Tech. And he happens to be the only quarterback on this list because he might not stick as a quarterback at the next level. That's the reason why I premised this list. Quite naturally, he's going to be thrown receivers he's never worked with before, and without a pass rush. So he probably, from what I'm seeing here, he looks like he's going to project as a raw project. His completion percentage over the last three seasons was nothing to write home about. Last season was 59.8. The season before that it was 51.3. And the season before that is 56.5. So he doesn't look like coming out of the gate. He may be, like I said, a project. And from what I see here, Mel Kiper still believes the team will gamble on him as a quarterback in the second or third round. I really find it hard to believe that this kid is going to be a possible second-round pick. He's 6'5", 254 pounds. That's a big guy for a quarterback. He's rushed – so he's basically, in my opinion, because of what he's done here, he's rushed for over 1,300 yards and 24 touchdowns in his final three college seasons. And he's projected to supposedly run a sub 4.6 40 time. That type of speed could turn Thomas from a disappointing quarterback to an intriguing tight end. It wouldn't be the first time that a quarterback with the size that he has would be turned into a tight end. Now, this guy, the next guy, I'm really intrigued about. He comes from, I think that they only lost one game all year last season, and that's Ohio State. He's a running back, so this is right up my wheelhouse. Carlos Hyde, who happens to be the favorite to be the number one running back off the board. He had a 1,500-yard season with 15 touchdowns and 208 carries, which equates to about 7.3 average. He's 6 feet, 235 pounds. He's got tackle-breaking ability and balance. The only problem that could be his speed and quickness and agility. So the key for him is the 40-yard dash, the three-cone drill, and the shutter run. So he's probably been keen on those three aspects of his performance so he can enhance his possibility of being drafted. Anybody, either one of you jump in here know anything about Carlos Hyde? You probably don't know about anything about Logan Thomas because he's not one of these quarterbacks that have been on the radar along with these other big name quarterbacks. But Carlos Hyde, maybe one of you guys know about this kid. Talk to me, Mikhail. Yeah. Seem like you want to jump in there.
Nah, I don't want to jump in there. I don't know nothing about these dudes. This is the first time I heard about him when you talked about him.
Okay.
I know a little bit about the quarterback from Virginia Tech.
Really?
You know,
really?
Those type of guys are interesting prospects, and it made me think back to a few years back, the Steelers drafted a few guys like that. I mean, Cordell Stewart, they used a variety of ways, and then eventually back at quarterback. Hines Ward played quarterback at college, and then they switched him to receiver. And even not quite as successful, Antoine Randall L, they drafted. And, you know, I think a couple times people were like, why do they keep drafting these guys? But they made use of them. But for whatever reason, maybe it was something Bill Cowher was into. They haven't done that in recent years. Another coach who's good at making use of the players he has is Belichick. They did briefly have Tebow, but they couldn't figure out a way to, you know, make him fit into the team and whatever. But
nobody could.
and it just goes to show you what an excellent coach John Fox and his staff in Denver were, because they changed that offense in the middle of the year and went on a run with a very limited quarterback, you know?
Right.
Tebow has certain abilities, but, you know, his passing is inaccurate enough to be an NFL quarterback. And he's certainly popular. And he was offered a gig with the Los Angeles Arena League team, co-owned by Gene Simmons from KISS. But
right.
I don't think he's interested in playing in the Arena League. And now that league never paid well, but now they're paying peanuts. I don't think he's going to do it.
Right. Well, I got one other running back on here, and the rest seem like wide receivers and tight ends. The Anthony Thomas is the smallest back, one of these real small Darren Sproles types back, 5'9", 169 pounds.
Damn, 169 pounds.
Yeah, and he's a running
crazy.
Back. So you figure
oh
this.
My God.
You figure this. He better be lightning quick. He better be able to run a 4.4, 4.3. Maybe, no, not a 4.4. He's got to be running around a 4.3. For anybody to really take him seriously. I mean, there's no two ways about it. If he doesn't run around a 4.3 or a real tight 4.4, no one's going to be looking at him, even though he averaged 7.8 yards a carry and 11.5 yards per catch in his three college seasons. So his stock will rise and fall on his speed and agility test, without a doubt. And I mean, he out of Oregon, you know, you can play that game in college, but you're playing with the big boys, 5'9", 169 pounds. You better bring a lot to the table, in order to get a seat on a team in the NFL.
Back, I don't think he could play running back. He could play wide receiver. He can't play running back. He could do wide receiver, punt returner, kick return. He cannot do running back. I'm sorry, man. Not at 165 pounds. You had to show me that, man.
Okay.
Dude,
okay.
I'm 185 pounds right now, and I wouldn't do running back. I couldn't do it. No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well. Let's move on to this, and the rest of these. Not the rest of them, but the majority of these guys are all wide receivers, and I'm going to start off with the number one wide receiver on a lot of people's board, and that's the wide receiver from Clemson, 6'1", 205 pounds. I'm talking about Sammy Watkins, who's regarded as a top wide receiver, like I said, in his class. Depending on where this guy goes, and especially depending on if he's able to run a real good 40 time, talking about 4.4, 4.3 for a 6'1", 205 pounds, he runs that, people are going to really raise their eyes and look at this kid. I don't know exactly where he's going to projecting to go. I would think he's probably up in top, well, quite naturally in the top 10. Exactly where and who's going to pick him? I know the Texans aren't going to pick him. I know the Jaguars are not going to pick him. I know maybe the Cleveland Browns won't pick him because all those teams and more are looking for, including the Vikings, are looking for a quarterback. And some of those teams may go in a different direction other than the quarterback and not take Sammy Watkins. But Sammy Watkins, along with Mike Evans, who was on the receiving end of a lot of balls that Johnny Football threw to him, because he's the wide receiver from Texas A&M, he's big, he's physical, 6'5", 225 pounds. It's going to be key for him to show a decent 40 time quite naturally. Anytime you're a wide receiver, quite naturally, you guys know that. Your 40 time is key. I mean, real key. I got Sammy Watkins here.
If you a wide receiver and you under 6'3", you better be at that 4'4 range. You know what I'm saying? If you over 6'3", 6'4", you need to be about 220 cut, and you know, to have your speed time at like 4'5", 4'6", to slide.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah, man. They want the
okay.
Fast.
Well, I got to Sammy Watkins, Michael Evans from Texas A&M, Kelvin Benjamin, wide receiver from Florida State, quite naturally. He's 6'5", 234, was on a lot of balls receiving from Mr. Winston at Florida State. And then this guy here, I'm not too sure about this guy. I don't know about him. Jordan Matthews, a wide receiver from Vanderbilt, and Brandon Cooks, a wide receiver from Oregon State. All these guys are guys that should be looking at come Sunday to see what their measurables are and how well they perform in the 40 and the agility drills, and also the you call that when you stand and you just jump.
The vertical.
So quite naturally, that's supposed to show how explosive you are or whatever. Well, out of all these guys, Sammy Watkins, Mike Evans, Kelvin Benjamin, Jordan Matthews, and Brandon Cooks, the first three are more prominent. The other two are not. Jeff, do you know anything about any of these guys?
Well, wasn't Mike Evans on Good Times? That's another Mike Evans, right? That's old.
That's very Jeff, because I was thinking the same type joke.
Great minds think alike, you know. He's dynamite. I'll tell you, I saw the highlight reel on that kid from Clemson. He has a very nice highlight reel. And, you know, Clemson, past couple of years, really, you know, really came out of nowhere. You know, it's just that you think about it, it's such an unexact science. It really is. And, you know, there's been so many guys, you know, for so many years, you know, these guys, you know, first, second rounders who bomb. And then, of course, guys, you know, who aren't even drafted who become, you know, great players. And these teams spend a fortune trying to figure it out. And they still can't. I mean, I've got my own theories. I think, you know, and I've read up on the draft, and you know, some teams consistently draft well, and that's not a coincidence. You talk about a guy changing position, you know, like what Mikal was saying about. To me, if a guy's going to have to change position, I mean, think about it. NFL is the highest level of competition. It's not like, you know, high school or something. It's not that big a deal moving from one position to another. But NFL, that's the best in the world. To me, if my team is drafting a guy who they're going to have to change his position, I'd rather have them pick the guy on a second or third day, not too early, if that makes any sense. Because I know some guys, like I think DeMarcus Ware, you know, like some of these guys who get moved from defensive line to linebacker, some of them are successful. But a lot of them aren't. Like that guy who the Jets spent a high first-round pick on, Golston. You see so much of that. And, you know, like teams like New England and Indianapolis who draft very well, if a guy doesn't fit their system, he's not even on the board. You know,
right?
And that's what a lot of it is. You know, it's not just oh, can this guy run? Is this guy strong? It's can he fit into our offense? And another guy, say what you want about him, you know, Mike Shanahan, that he also with certain players is good at finding guys who fit into his system. Like that, he knows what kind of running backs. You know, usually it's a very simple concept, a good one-cut, straight-ahead type running back. And he can get these guys late or even free agents, put them behind an offensive line. Also, an offensive line filled with guys who fit into that system. And in Washington and in Denver, always was able to run the ball with those guys. You know, that's how you do it. You need a plan. You need a system. You need something.
Right. All right. I'm not even going to get into the other two guys. They're tight ends. One's rated as the number one tight end. The other one's rated as a sleeper. Not going to get into it. What I do want to get into is this. And Mikal, you alluded to it very briefly. even though he's not going to throw, and even though the owner has come out publicly and said that Johnny Football, meaning Johnny Manziel, intrigues him, and there's a possibility that Houston's looking for a quarterback. I'm firmly against Houston taking a quarterback with the first pick. Absolutely firmly against it, because I don't think there's a quarterback in this draft that is a number one pick, and I don't even think there's a quarterback in this draft that's a number one in any position from 1 to 32. That's how bad, not how bad, but I don't think any of these quarterbacks warrant a number one pick from any team. But quite naturally, teams fall in love with guys that they need, and either it's blinded by needing a quarterback versus the actual ability of one quarterback, like a Brandon Whedon, who was picked in the first round, which he shouldn't have been. It looks like, supposedly, the favorites for the Texans, and it depends on what they do in the combine and or their pro or private workouts, Blake Bortles and Johnny Manziel are the favorites to be the Texans' pick at number one, which I'm totally disagreeing. So I'm anxious to see on Sunday when the quarterbacks and wide receivers and running backs are showcased, how well any of these quarterbacks, depending on what they do, whether they run, whether they do all the drills except for throw, or they do throw, what kind of evaluation they get from the so-called experts in my eye. Let me put it that way. Let me go this way, okay? I know you guys heard of Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, and why can't I think of this guy? Mike Mayotte.
Yeah, Mayotte. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, Mike Mayotte. I have more respect for Mike Mayotte because he's pretty much on point with his evaluation of talent versus Mel Kiper and Todd McShay. If you had a choice, you're the number one pick, and I think McCall already told me this, all right? And you had a number one pick. Now, I need a reason, a valid reason, why you would take who you would take and why you would take him with the number one pick. I'm going to go to you, McCall. You got a choice. Jadeveon Clowney, Johnny Manziel, or any other quarterback that you feel that may be worth a number one pick? That's you. Talk to me.
Yeah. I you know what? If they pick Jadeveon Clowney, it really wouldn't be a bad move, but I just can't see how they pass up Johnny Manziel. I mean, honestly, if they get Johnny Manziel, Houston is officially there in Texas. There's a team, there's a bona fide team, other team in Texas. The Cowboys will be like the Lakers now. You know what I'm saying? If Manziel get there, Slim, I think that this young man has the talent and has the tools to do what he need to do. I really believe that. And I really think it will be I mean, he pretty much said it. You know, he going to have a big chip on his shoulder about Houston if he don't go there. And I know that's not like a good technical reason to do so, but
that youngin' is from Texas, you know, and he gonna ball out. He's going to ball out Texas for the Texans if he get there, man. I just think that I think he is legitimate. He is legitimate. All this talk about height and stuff like that. I mean, we put that to rest too many times in the NFL with, you know, with Vic really not being 6 feet for real, for real. Breeze and now Mr. Wilson. But you know, he really doesn't compare to any of those quarterbacks. He's much more of a gambler, way more of a gambler, and I think that's what Houston needs now. I mean, they really need to go in a different direction with that offense now, man. I mean, because Kubiak there for so long, it's time. It really is time, and to get a quarterback like that with a guy like Andre Johnson, it can help stabilize him. It can help, you know, put him, you know, get him, you know, the targets he needs. Hopefully, your man come back for at least maybe two more years. Your running back, I just love him. He is just all world to me. I really like that youngin, and I'm not saying that because he's a poet, but it has a lot to do with it. But I really think they need to get him, man. They really should go ahead and pull the trigger and get him.
Jeff,
I like Manziel. I think he's exciting, but I have a lot of reservations about him. Some people think he could be, you know, similar to a Brett Favre, and then some people think he might be closer to a Tim Tebow. I think he might be kind of somewhere in between that, like a right-handed Michael Vick, I think, you know, because I don't think he compares to Russell Wilson, because Russell Wilson may be 5'11", but he's a solid 5'11", with huge hands, you know what I'm saying?
Donnie
Bell
got
and
huge hands,
Slim. Yeah, that's true. He does have, but he's a lean guy. You know, they got to put some beef on him. You know, similar to Wilson, and just Wilson is just exemplifies just a guy who's got a real good head on his shoulders, real mature, real boring in interviews because of that. You know, and not everybody's like that. The thing is, you know, Manziel hasn't been the most mature guy, but at least he stays off the police blotters. And some of the stuff he did that's against the rules will no longer be an issue once he's in the NFL. One of the things I liked about Wilson is he's usually running around just to buy some time, and usually he's running to avoid contact. And that's what Manziel's going to have to learn how to do, or he won't be in the sports pages. He'll be in the obituaries, you know, because he looks very light. And if somebody catches him, it might not be pretty. I think, you know, like a lot of teams in that situation, I tell you, Jerry's a good luck fan. You know, the Jets now, Houston. Houston, if they can find somebody, it might be in their better interest to trade down, because I've got reservations. I mean, not that I'm an authority on Clowney, and all they got to do is find one team willing to do it, and if they trade down and get more picks, it takes the pressure off. I mean, a little bit, because, you know, if you trade away the number one pick and he becomes a great, it's like, oh, you traded the dude away, but, you know, to get multiple picks in return, I don't know. It seems like a high percentage move.
Well, if you had known, if you had listened to Andre Johnson, they had interviewed him, and he had said that if it was him, he would trade the pick. He says no disrespect for Johnny Manziel, but he would trade the pick.
and that was alluding to what you were saying, Jeff, that trade down and try to pick up more picks. My thought is this, and I've gone on record in more than one show that this is what I think they should do. This makes a lot of sense. Not trade the pick. Pick Jadeveon Clowney. Make him at the bookend with J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt is a good mentor and a good guy to have for Clowney to learn the how to play defense in the NFL. And the explosiveness of those two guys on either side of the defensive line, it would be raining havoc on quarterbacks for one. My problem with Johnny Manziel is he does a lot of improvisation, which this is my opinion. It's more flash than substance. I know he's done a lot of things in college. Okay, that's college. He's not playing with NFL type players from. The first man or the 11th man on a defense opposing him. So when he has the big boys running after him, when he has big defenses, big boy defenses putting up coverage in front of him, how's he going to react to it? I'm not worried about his size. I'm just worried about his off-field, his on-field performance and the issues that may come with his off-field. If he's done all this stuff in college, now he's going to get paid. Now, I know he comes from money, but now he's going to really have some money, and he's going to be no constraints on him, like in college. So he's going to be able to do whatever and whatever he wants to do. I have an issue with that. He's more, to me, he's more flash. I understand he's got Billy, but he's more flash than substance to me. And I would rather take Jadeveon Clowney in the first round and wait until the second and possibly the third, but the second round is probably where this guy, I want to pick him up. He's a proven winner. He's won multiple college championships. He hails from the state of Alabama, and he's very low on the radar. I'm talking about A.J. McCarron. Pick him up as a quarterback in the second round. Now you have a quarterback that comes from a winning organization from Alabama who's been under a coach who's a no-nonsense coach as Nick Saban. So he's been schooled hard by Nick Saban, and you have a big time pass rusher with Jadeveon Clowney. So you got two guys that you might say solve two issues, but you've improved, in my opinion, on two important cogs of your defense and your offense. Your thoughts? I said Jadeveon Clowney first round, A.J. McCarron second round, McCall.
Well, like I said, you know, it's not a bad move to pick up Clowney. It really isn't. I mean, to have him on the other side with J.J. Watt is just ridiculous. That would just be ridiculous. So, I can support that. However, Manziel, man, he is going to be much better than you guys are thinking. This youngin got a lot to prove. You know, because he been hearing all this stuff. You know, he been hearing a lot of this stuff, and the interview he gave, I don't know which paper or I don't know if it was a Houston paper or was SI. But the whole thing about he said the chip on his shoulder is going to turn from a Frito to a Dorito or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That youngin is ready. Because, I mean, because I don't know, man. I could just see it. I really can see it. I really, really can see it. This youngin's going to be much better than everybody's thinking he's going to be.
Jeff.
Yeah, I'm curious, Jerry. You've been, you know, following the combine a little closer than I have.
Right.
I wish Black was on because he watches a lot of college football. I watch, mm-hmm. but not as much as he does. You think McCarron's is that much of an NFL prospect? I mean, he's good, but I mean, he's good when his line is better than any defensive line he's going to go against. You really think McCarron's is all that?
Well, this is why I'm saying this. We got a coach who's a quarterback coach. He did a heck of a job with Quackenberg, I think his name is Quackenberg, from Penn State, in coaching him, coaching that quarterback. And I think any of the possible shortcomings or issues that the A.J. McCarron has, I think can be worked out. Because you have to think about this. If you have a extremely solid, and this is the blueprint, which I think a lot of people, because it's a copycat league, a lot of people are going to follow the type of things that Seattle's doing. Play sound defense and run the ball. And have your quarterback make plays, but don't, you know, he doesn't have to be a Peyton Manning. It'd be nice if he was, but he doesn't have to be a Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or Drew Brees throwing the ball all over the field. Just play good defense, run the ball, and your quarterback make plays and don't lose the game for us. Just make enough plays to keep us in the game, or if you have to make some plays, but you don't have to be the focus of an offense. And I think if you get a quarterback like that, with A.J. McCarron, is to me a solid quarterback. He's not a how can I say this? He's not a Drew Brees type of quarterback. He's not Tom Brady. In my opinion, he's a solid quarterback. He's not nothing flashy, but he's no dirtbag either. So I'm looking for a quarterback that is going to be steady and consistent. That's all I need. If I have a solid defense and I'm able to run the ball, that means I'll stay in the game. I'll be in the game at the end, and I'll take my chances like that. Just like Seattle. Seattle that doesn't have a spectacular offense. Their main focus is a defense. And that's what I think is going to happen with a lot of these teams. They're going to gear up on defense for the most part. Unless you got a stud as a quarterback, and there's not too many of them in the league, the formula is this. You run the football, and you play solid defense.
Jerry.
Yo.
Please get to this Ray Rice thing before you run out of time. Please.
No time.
Please.
Okay. No
Please.
Problem. Hey, if we have to go overtime, we're going to go overtime. No problem.
Okay, good.
Now, people. Now, I've seen a 50-second clip of Ray Rice and his fiance coming out of an elevator in Atlantic City Casino. And his fiance is unconscious, supposedly, in Revel Casino, which is I haven't been to this casino, but it's supposedly a nice casino. They got into some type of altercation, and I don't know if they were intoxicated or what led to it. Maybe McCallum has a little bit more to light, but Ray Rice was hit by his girlfriend, and I guess it may have been just a natural reaction or a reflex or whatever. Ray Rice cold cocked her and knocked her out. And as if who's ever looked at the video has seen that Ray Rice, as the elevator doors open, Ray Rice is on his 2 feet. His fiance is not. That's all I can say. She is not. And he tries nonchalantly to pull her out of the elevator. I don't know. And he's got some money due him, and he does something. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I know Ray Rice is supposedly a good guy. Never been in any kind of trouble, and this comes up. Mikal, I know you're dying to say something about this. Talk to me.
Oh, man. I so wish that my egghead cousin was on here. Because he really needs to hear this, what I'm about to say. You know, cause, and a lot of people really need to hear this, what I'm about to say. If Ray Rice did indeed knock his fiance out unconscious, he need to go to jail. He need to be locked up. There's absolutely no justification for hitting a woman, right? But
right.
That statement is incomplete because it's only one-sided, right? There is no – here's the statement. There is no justification ever for a man to hit a woman ever, 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 ever. And he should be locked up. He should be put away. However, that does not mean that he won't.